Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Solinity.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap Senior Living Podcast.
I'm Josh. I'm here with my co-host Lucas.
What's up?
What's up, man? So today is very special and unique. For those of you that are regular listeners, you know that I'm usually not the one doing the intro. So sorry to disappoint.
You did a great job.
Well, thank you. So I'm here today not only with my co-host Lucas, but one of our favorite people, Melissa Banco of Banco Design. For those of you who have been listening to our show for a while, you recognize the name because Melissa was one of our first guests back at like a NIC conference, right?
Yep, that's right.
So exciting today. We're here at Banco Design in right outside of Atlanta. We had a brief tour, got to meet some of the team, and they're doing awesome things. We're going to let Melissa tell you a little bit about what they do here. We're going to do a little bit deeper dive and talk about design. We're going to talk about procurement. We're going to talk about timing. We're going to talk about some space planning as we're repurposing community. So excited. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I guess I didn't screw it up too bad the first time if you guys want to hang out again. So I appreciate that. And we love having you here at the studio. So you listening might hear chatter in the background of the designers coming in, starting the day and getting going on what it is we do all day. So right. I think we get that question a lot. What all is included in interior design? When we hire you on, what are you giving us? What's the scope cover? So there's sort of two parts of that. There's the actual design side. There's the specification side. There's working with the architects and the engineers to coordinate everything that we would like to go into that building. How are we gonna address that space? But before that, it's the space planning and the program side of it. So another question we get a ton is, when do we need to bring you into a project? And we actually talked about that when we spoke the first time. And we like to be brought in pretty early on after the architects kind of through schematic design. And the reason why we do that is we want to make sure that the program that we need that building to function as actually fits in the space.
So we were talking about some practical examples of that earlier. You know, I'm an operator. Lucas deals a lot with this because he's in the renovation construction business. But share some practical examples of some things that maybe not go right that right. You can prevent from happening. Just very practical things right. That you shared about carpet.
And it's not major changes, right? It's just, again, it's the collaboration and it's tweaking things that make sense, but that can have a huge impact on the overall cost of the job and, again, the program of the job. So we were talking about corridor widths. What does that look like? So we always help our architects and we work with them to make sure that we've got either 5 foot wide or 6 foot wide corridors. That's plenty of space for my seniors to be able to get by each other. But when we start getting much wider than that and we're specifying product that goes in there that's a roll good, if we're much wider than that, we're having to buy twice the goods, right? And so we want to preserve those specs. We need to make sure that the building's acting as the building needs to. It's the widths are right. Another big example that we run into is there's space allotted for things like dining rooms. And then we start to look at seat count and we really start to scale what that furniture is in that space. Come to find out we maybe need to bump that building out 2 feet or, which our developers love to hear, shrink the building. You've got too much space. You can actually come in a couple of feet because we've been able to get all the seat counts that we need in there and just scale appropriately that space. So, it's just the conversation and the charrette in the beginning when an interior designer's brought in and works with all those consultants.
Yeah, so it can potentially save you a lot of money.
Yes.
Particularly with projects now where everybody's concerned about cost, but also it just helps you prepare and not be over budget because, you know, a community, they may be committed to those 8 foot corridors, but they just need to know maybe they've under budgeted.
Right.
And if they're committed to that, they just need to make sure that they've planned appropriately.
Exactly.
So bringing the team together, as we've talked, it's got to be a complete team. They need to all be around the table talking about the same project from the start.
And for, you know, if you pick the wrong material and that waste factor goes, you know, sky high.
Right.
And you're going to blow your budget. And so having that conversation up front on how you want to lay that carpet.
Right.
And the seaming diagrams, and it can't be an afterthought that comes up that's a, you know, something that is a budget buster.
Right. You know? And if we know we're working with 8-foot corridors and that's just what the building is and that's what the owner has requested, then let's be smart about what the specification is. Let's look at something modular rather than having the team pick something that's broadloom and sort of go down, you know, that rabbit hole of what that specification is. So again, it's just about communication up front and what the end goals are, and then we can design to whatever we need to. We just need to be privy to those conversations.
So a very much a small detail, but I think is very important, and we were just, you know, talking through some things here for folks. We talked a little bit about timing, when mm-hmm. to bring the team together, mm-hmm. but you were even giving us some interesting facts, and Lucas and I were sitting here thinking, gosh, that's a long time. We were talking about carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Go through some of the typical timelines for things when, like, a lot of people, I don't think, know that I did not know, and I'm in the business, that we need to be planning for, you said 16 weeks.
Sometimes
lead?
It's 16 weeks for furniture, or if it's semi-custom or custom flooring, you know, wall covering, what have you. And again, that's not every product, right? But it's just, we have the education of what those lead times are, and we're happy to walk through that as a schedule with our owners and our operators. But again, it's just communicating up front about what that is. We get that question. Lighting is also something that has a really long lead time, and that's not custom. That's mm-hmm. just sort of, you know, quote unquote, off the shelf. So we want to make sure that we're specifying appropriately, and then our owners, our operators, and our GC knows, hey, you do have 16-week lead time on a lot of lighting, right?
Yeah.
So let's plan appropriately so the team doesn't fall in love with the design, everything's budgeted, and then it comes down to, oh, crap,
yeah.
We've got, you know, a lead time that's way too long, and we've got to get this building done.
On lighting, I'm going to interrupt you because it just hit me. So how do you feel about value engineering as a designer? Like, do you hate it? Do you love it? Everybody wants to say something. And
do
like
you want
lighting,
me to be honest?
Yes, be honest. Like, lighting's a category where people are always like, well, I found another light. It's the same thing.
Right.
You know, it's $20 less per unit, you know.
Right. So we try to prevent VE. We know that it is a real life thing. It's part of the process. Sometimes something's being held in a budget. Maybe something went a little haywire somewhere else in the project, and we need to help our owner VE something to get some dollars saved. I get it. But our job is to really prevent that. So again, having the conversations up front about what those budgets are, what the goals are of the project, and then design once. If you have to tweak, something's out of stock, what have you, then yeah,
sure.
We reselect. But we are really challenged with helping our groups not have to VE. So that's a great segue into product. So Banco is set up. We are a full ID firm. So we design and we create drawings and we create this holistic, interiors package. And that's one part of what we do. The other part is the procurement part. So after we specify things like lighting and furniture, and we hold those budgets, we can then procure for our owners. And that is something that I was really passionate about when I started Banco. I came from firms that didn't do that. And I just thought, why are we not just making that a seamless mm-hmm. transition for our owners? And why are we not handling that for them rather than bringing an agent in? So that is a big part of what we do. So you guys toured the warehouse. And
it's amazing. I knew you had a warehouse, but that's a serious warehouse. And there's loads of furniture here. So that tells me you're very busy. But explain what goes on back there.
Yeah, okay. So on the procurement side, after we've designed and we've budgeted for those furniture items and we've space planned for those furniture items, the team does select everything, which is included in sort of the design side, right? So we specify all those goods. But then have an owner look at me and say, okay, now I need you for you to make it happen, you know, let's talk about procurement. So what's wrapped up in procurement is we have those specifications, we order all those goods, we check on all those lead times to make sure that things are going to be here appropriately. If not, we reselect. And then we track those goods coming to the warehouse. It drops here at the warehouse. We have an amazing warehouse team, which you guys saw buzzing around the warehouse back there. They inspect all of the goods to make sure that nothing's damaged. That's stuff we don't want to see pop up on an install day. It's categorized on what job it goes on. It sits in those bays and is all safe until install day. Then we load our trucks, drive those trucks to the install everything, throw away all the trash, dust everything off, and you're ready to go with your furniture. So it is a laborious process on the back end, but again, it's controlled by the folks that specified it.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to troubleshoot and again make that super easy for our owners and our operators to say, we specified it, we bought it, we got it here, you're good to go.
So talk me through a little bit of that timing, because obviously I walk through this warehouse. I ask you, I'm like, gosh, I mean, this is a lot of furniture here. like y'all have a lot of projects going on. How early is this furniture usually arriving, giving you guys time to inspect it, make sure everything's right? Is there time where if something isn't right, do you typically have time to get it sent back and
so
back
we,
to
we
you?
So we definitely build that schedule for you on the front end, and so everyone's on the same page. And we do weekly touch bases. Here's what's here. Here's what we're waiting on. But what we do is for quick flips, you know, we get owners call us up sometimes. Hey, we need to do a quick furniture refresh. How fast could you make that happen? We are educated enough with the vendors that we have great relationships with to know who can get us things faster than others, right? So we would specify appropriately if you needed something that was a little quicker than typical. But for a new build where we would have a little bit more time, you're looking at 6 months. Mm. So that is to be able to budget, order, get everything in here, have a little flex time to make sure that things aren't damaged or not damaged, and reconcile that if we need to. So on a new build where you've got a whole new community that needs all new furniture, we would like to start ordering 6 months ahead of time.
Wow. So more reason to get that team working together very early on.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's exciting. So I can tell you, I can see the huge value in what you're doing on this procurement side, because having developed and started, opened a lot of communities, nothing ever goes right when you're dealing with construction schedules and all that. Yeah. But one of the things that is a controllable, I feel like, is this whole procurement piece and getting the furniture inspected ahead of time. I can't tell you how many times furniture arrives, construction's already behind, you've got residents at your doorstep waiting to move in, and you can't sometimes even get your final inspections and stuff until your FF&E is in the building. And you know, you start opening boxes, and the boxes you're seeing for the first time, and they're caved in, they're crushed because sometimes things get damaged.
Right.
And if that hasn't been inspected, you're without sometimes your center focal piece or a lot of pieces.
Right. Dining room furniture, how are we going to eat? Or lobby furniture, which is, you know, that's your first impression when you walk in a building, is to have that ready and beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So that is a
I could sit
issue.
Here and talk about horror stories all day. Like, please learn from our mistakes.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Like,
right.
And even simple things. Like I heard you say trash removal. That's something I think a detail people don't think about.
Right.
I've been on projects where you're installing 120,000 square foot building with furniture. People don't realize how much trash.
So many boxes.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you got these people arriving and they're like, here's your furniture. See ya.
Right.
And then, you know, 25 dumpster loads later, that somebody's absorbing the cost on that. Is that the general contractor? Is that the owner? You know, is that the operations messing with all that?
Right. And so, it's very translucent with us. We're very open book about when you get an estimate from us. There are things that are itemized out, and we walk through with our owners what all of that includes, what's included in your procurement fee. There's cost of goods, and we are very aggressive with our vendors to get our owners and our operators the very best price on goods, you know, as a unit cost, right? And then there's the procurement fee, which is really our time as a team to do all of these things that we're telling you we do, right? But one benefit with us too is that we own our own warehouse. So it's one of those details that we've had owners come back and look at us that have, you know, maybe worked with another group or have a different setup, and they've said, we had no idea how much we were going to pay in warehousing. Well, the warehousing's wrapped up with our procurement fee. That's a bonus that you get with us. And each group can be set up different, but again, it's itemized out. You don't have any hiccups later down the road going, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had to remove trash, X dollars. I didn't know I had to spend. I didn't know I had to pay additional warehousing, X dollars. It's all there. It's one number. You know, it's itemized out, and we can talk through that with our group so that we don't have those oh my gosh moments.
Well, and I think we're talking about failure points and on complicated projects. You're trying to minimize to control the outcome.
Right.
How many points of failure along the line are there, and who is the point person on that? And when you have a cohesive team, you're limiting the points of failure by having a good point of contact for these big category projects.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's how we make the process better. And that kind of rolls into renovation versus new build, two totally different beasts, right? So we do work in both of those spaces. And the new builds are great, and they're, you know, these beautiful big buildings. But there's a lot of renovation that's coming online. We've got land that's harder to find. We've got new builds that are taking longer to come online. So there's a lot of work in sort of that repositioning and that renovation space. So how do we make that process as seamless as possible from a design and a procurement and an install you know, process. How do we do that? Because we have residents that are living there.
Right.
So how do we minimize the, you know, the mess up?
Mm-hmm. the impact to the resident.
Right, of them being there. So that's another reason that we take that so seriously.
Is there a difference in the team composition? Because, you know, on new builds, you've obviously got your general contractor in conjunction with your developer, an architect, interior design team, procurement, your operator. Is that obviously you're probably in some cases dealing on the renovation with the general contractor? Is the architect also involved in this process, or is this usually just you guys?
It depends on the scope. Sometimes we get calls and requests from owners where it's truly an interior refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we start touching any walls or there's anything with MEP, we bring on an architect to help us manage that. And work with us on that, and then bring in consultants appropriately to do that. But if it's a finish refresh and furniture, then we can manage that on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So it just totally depends on the scope of the renovation.
So a couple other minor points I wanted to ask, because, again, this goes from just a lot of different types of projects, 13-plus years in the space, and a lot of times the details like the window coverings,
mm-hmm.
the art,
mm-hmm.
the lamps, the details. What are your recommendations on that? Because I see a lot of attempted value engineering on this that goes radically wrong, where you'll have an owner that's like, oh, don't worry about it, my wife can handle the art package. And then
red flag.
Yeah, there's a big, you know, everything else looks great, and then we go cheap on the art, or we it's just not consistent. It's not space planned right. So how does your firm address that, or what are your recommendations?
So we are thinking about the project all the way through. And all joking aside, you know, I even tell people what I do for a living. They're like, oh, you're a decorator. Oh, I love HGTV. I'm like, it's much more than that. And we try to educate, you know, that it is much more than that, because it is so much about the interior architecture and the program and all of that. And we do think about a project though all the way through, even through what we call the pretty stuff, the accessories and the art and all of that. So we, again, make sure that from the very beginning that we're holding allowances for those things, so it's not something in the end that we can say, we don't have the dollars for that. And that is really a shame if you do work with somebody to get a project going and you get, you know, your major goods in there and that kind of thing, and then you don't have the budget to do the art, because then you're not finishing, you know.
No,
well.
Or you end up with some... even lack of a window cover.
Right.
I mean, I've gone into places that have the most beautiful furniture
right.
and flooring in the world, and then it's like, are you going to put anything on the windows?
Right.
No, we ran out of money.
Yeah, so Banco's going to help you figure out where those dollars need to go
mm-hmm.
and make sure that they're held appropriately and that you don't have those instances where mm-hmm. it's like, clearly there was money spent here and time and energy spent here, and it wasn't finished well. So we help you manage that to make sure that that doesn't happen.
We always say, Lucas, right? Finish strong.
Right? That's right.
Finish well.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's in the details. It really is in the details. But, you know, that's a good comparison of communities and groups. It's the details, looking at those fine lines.
Absolutely.
Sure,
well, I
good.
Think with a very active space in seniors right now, there's a lot of acquisitions taking place. Things are moving quickly. There's a lot of deals taking place. Budgets are shifting and changing, and the marketplace is very, very strong. And so we're really glad to be able to sit down with you and talk about this topic that is very, very meaningful to us and to the audience. And so we don't want the conversation to stop here. We'll take it online. Feel free to ask questions and connect. We'll make sure that we connect with Melissa Banco and her team here if you want to talk to them a little bit more. And thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks. Bye.